Until he gets me his recordings. So I have to make sure his recordings are up there. As you pray the noetically, as you pray welcoming Christ, I want you to have your thoughts move to your hearts and simply pray, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. You're welcoming Jesus Christ, which is what today's event was all about. We have little children that are crying out, welcoming Christ as King and welcoming him into their hearts. We are also supposed to do the same thing. With that, we have this prayer that keeps us humble before we take communion. And I'll stop after every section of this prayer and ask you to take time to move your thoughts to your heart with these prayers, the prayers that the church has given us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O only pure and incorruptible Lord, because of the unspeakable mercy of your love for mankind, you did take to yourself our entire human composition from the pure blood of the Virgin who gave birth to you beyond nature by the descent of the Holy Spirit and the goodwill of the ever-existing Father. O Christ Jesus, wisdom, peace and power of God. Through the human nature which you did take to yourself, you did suffer the life-creating and saving passion, the cross, the nails, the spear, death itself. Put to death in me the soul-destroying passions of the body. Through your burial, you did capture the kingdom of death, bury in me the evil devices of the devil with good thoughts, and destroy the spirits of evil. Through your life-bringing resurrection, you did raise up the first father who had fallen. Raise me up, who am sunk down in sin, and give me the image, the icon of repentance. Through your glorious ascension, you did deify the flesh which you did assume to be divine and placed it on the throne at the Father's right hand. Grant me to receive a place at the right hand with the saved through communion of your holy mysteries. Through the coming of your Spirit, the Comforter, you did make your consecrated disciples to be honorable vessels. Show me also to be the receptacle of his coming. You have promised to come again to judge the world in righteousness. Grant that I may go to meet you in the clouds, my judge and creator, with all your saints, that I may glorify and praise you without end, together with your Father, who is without beginning, and your most holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto eons of eons. Amen. This prayer is in page 247 of this book. If you want to grab some photocopies of it maybe and pray regularly, get ready for it. Before taking communion, as of if there's time, if you can, when they're singing some chants, there's a time where you can just pray this prayer and get your heart ready. But even now as you're preparing. And I want you to imagine that this Holy Week that's coming up is your last Holy Week on earth. Are you ready to meet Jesus today? Not saying that in a fearful way or terrible way or anything like that. It's a very true question that we are going to discover during Holy Week. The Holy Week is all about this. Holy Week is preparing us to meet Jesus any day he comes. He says, I'll come like the thief in the night. You won't know when I'm coming. Despite the fact that Hal Lindsey predicted Jesus will come back before 1988, and all the Baptist preachers from Dallas Theological Seminary taught that before 1988, Jesus is coming back. He's not. He didn't come back. But he is coming back. We say it in our creeds. We know he's coming back. He says, just as you see me go up, I'm coming back. And Holy Week is meant to prepare us for that. Today, as we're celebrating Palm Sunday, and I want to really have us come back to the context of what's going on in Holy Week. And for that context, we have to understand what has been going on in Lent so far. Maybe you've gotten to attend some services. Maybe you've missed a few. I don't know. Obviously, we've got work. We've got travels. We've got logistics that sometimes keep us away. And sometimes you have to make sacrifices to be here when you can. No judgment at all. Zero. Sometimes you're sick and you cannot make it. And I'm not saying this to try to have any kind of pride, wrong form of pride in my daughter Charis, who happens to be in the audience. But yesterday, as we're about to come to Divine Liturgy for Holy Lazarus, Saturday, all at once before we get out the door, she gets sick and has to go let things out of her as a vomit. And I go down, we put some stuff in the car, come back. I say, well, you know, if you need to rest, it's okay. And it would be okay if she needs to rest and recover. And she said, no, Daddy, I want to try to make it. I said, okay. She came and I said, if you need to rest in the car for a little bit, feel free. And if you need, then when you can come, you come. And she came. She did all she could. At times, she fell asleep. No problem. She was here. She was doing all she can. So as much as you can during the week, if there is any way, just by the grace of God, the mercies of God, without any judgment, without any wrong form of pressure, just as if you can come. Some of our saints have written, they said, are you going to miss Divine Liturgy? These are people before they became officially saints of the church, but in their life. And I said, if I have to crawl through glass to be in Divine Liturgy, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to miss it. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be there. And it takes a period of time to get to that point. So it's okay. Just give yourself time, maybe before you're there. And do not in any way judge yourself the wrong way or condemn yourself the wrong way. Well, you cannot make it. But if you can, come. Why? There's a great blessing. I like to say that heaven and earth are meeting, because that's what the church teaches. That's what's really happening. Heaven and earth are meeting, and you're there, and Jesus is there. What would you do to come meet him and to welcome him as the children you see in the icon, that children are welcoming Jesus Christ? Hosanna, Hosanna, crying out, welcoming the King of Kings who's coming in. And who's upset about the children welcoming Jesus Christ and crying out Hosanna and welcoming? Blessed is the Lord. Seeing the reality of the prophecy coming through, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself is entering Jerusalem. They're praising God. And who's upset? Do you remember? Who's upset that these people are the humble ones, the simple ones, the children are praising God? Who's the one that's upset?
Pharisees.
And what were they? They were
high priests.
Yeah, they were priests. They were the clergy. They were the ones that are supposed to represent Jesus Christ. They're supposed to lead people to God. And they're the ones upset that the people are welcoming God. What does that tell you about the spirit that could enter? Even the people, they got the right form. They're doing what God had taught them. Do it in the right form. But they had missed the spirit by which they're supposed to welcome. And they missed the whole point. The form and the spirit, the whole purpose was so you could welcome Jesus into your life. Have a living relationship with God. It was not just so they can... Let's make sure we're good Jews and we're following everything and we're a select nation and we can go wipe out everybody else and we can kill children and we can destroy other nations and say we're a select nation. Therefore, give us superpowers. America, send us a nuclear bomb so we can blow up everybody else. It was nothing like that. I mean, this is just craziness that even today is being taught. I watch people in the name of Christ. I am just horrified when I hear some of our representatives in Congress and in the Senate. They come, they will preach the Bible today when they say, why are 15,000 children being killed? And they'll say, oh, well, Amalek, and they'll find some verse somewhere and say, you see, this is just okay, it's God's will. And you're like, and you're representing God, and you go to church, and whatever man-made tradition you've made up. Why? Because the Jews, the Pharisees, are the select people of God, and they have to remake the temple so they can have animal sacrifices in order somehow to make it okay for Jesus to come back, because they're given some of this high spirit status. And this is common, by the way, in American Christianity, in Western Christianity. This is horrifying. But that's the same spirit that was keeping away Jesus from being received in the heart. And they don't care that they're Orthodox Christians in certain nations while they're wiping them out, while they're blowing up churches. They say, yeah, but we're protecting this special nation while we're blowing up Christian churches. And you think, wow, what a demonic spirit. But to judge them is the same as what went on in the Bible. As you read the Bible, you could miss this point. It's right there in the scriptures. And it's right there in the icon showing us these people are rejecting Christ while they're claiming to speak in the name of God. Can you imagine? I'm here as ambassador for Jesus Christ, and yet I say, but don't listen to him, listen to me, and let me join me in killing him, and join me in not allowing him to come into Jerusalem, his city, a symbol of the New Jerusalem, a symbol of the church that he's been welcomed to. And I think about this, because when you think about Holy Week, and we're going to be having some beautiful prayers Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And in these prayers, we're going to remember how we're supposed to have a spirit of nipsi, that is watchfulness, as the virgins. We're supposed to be preparing ourselves for Christ and saying he could come any minute. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to be praying those. And then Thursday, we're going to be reading the accounts of preparing to go to the cross, and then the actual cross on Friday and on Holy Saturday. And I especially want to touch on that Holy Saturday, because something special is going to happen on Holy Saturday. The harrowing of hell, which we've talked about a few times. Christ comes down, defeats Satan. Satan thinks that he's won the battle, but instead he's got an innocent human being, the first innocent human being entering his realm, and he's killed him. And there is a, and he goes, what have you done? Why have you taken the life of this person? There was no sin in him. He's like, oops. And Christ says, I got you. You thought you were winning, but I was actually winning in the middle of all this. And you thought you won. And that's why even today we're remembering in the prayers throughout Lent. Have you noticed? Throughout Lent, when you're chanting, especially you who are chanting, the prayers are constantly reminding us the resurrection and what is it about. Yesterday, we were remembering Lazarus. What happened? Lazarus was being raised from the dead. And like Father Stephen was reminding us, Lazarus ended up being hated by the Jews. Why? Because he rose from the dead. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And then the people go, wow, who can raise the people from the dead? We haven't seen this happen. They all start believing Jesus. They start following Christ. And they go, what do you mean? You're causing people to go to, you know what? Let's kill you again. It wasn't enough that you were dead once. Let's kill you. So God calls him to leave the city, to not come back there. And for 30 years he lives. And he ends up leading many people to Christ and becoming a wonderful servant of Christ, a bishop of the church, serving Christ, constantly glorifying God, until the day when he met Christ even more fully. But like Father was reminding us, he can't smile hardly, because he's constantly saying, there's nothing in this world to smile about in some way. Now, it's not like we don't have beauty here. But it's just compared to what he had seen, the glory that's indescribable, the words that are you could not describe, the experience that he had of heaven. He's like, what am I doing here? Now, many of our hesychasts feel the same way. Many of you, as you enter the Jesus prayer, as you enter experience the kingdom of God inside of you, many times you're going to go, wow. Everything that we're doing is almost like relatively meaningless. Like this is what it's all about, is experiencing Christ in our heart. Yet God has called us to say, okay, I haven't called you out of the world, Maybe if you're monks, you might be called into a monastery, but even then you're not called out of the world. You're still in the world, but you're not of the world. And that's God's calling on all of us. We're learning all about Holy Week. Why do we learn about Holy Week? That's a great question. I love that question. Why are we learning about Holy Week? Now, before we enter Holy Week, what have we done up to this point?
Fasting.
Fasting and prayer. And think about some of the services, Sunday services. We studied the story of the prodigal son. This is a person who is abandoning the treasure of heaven and choosing the world's goods and experiencing darkness, and then gets miserable and go, you know what, I'm so miserable, why don't I at least go become a slave in my father's household, I'll have it better. And the father comes out embracing him and said, I'm so glad you're here, I'm not holding all this against you. The father is saying, come to us, come. In the church we remember this. In Forgiveness Sunday, where we go around, we're remembering, we're forgiving one another, we're asking for forgiveness, we're humbling ourselves before God. In the Triumph of Orthodoxy, one of the great services that we had, what were we doing? We're saying God is represented through holy icons, and his saints are represented, and there's a means of grace of holy icons. For 120 years, Satan was trying to snuff this out of the church, and the faithful stood it out. They got killed for it, for having icons, and they still kept it. They still kept the faith. They still kept the holy paradosis, the tradition, the living tradition, because they knew the special grace that comes from holy icons. And you come into the church, you experience it many times. You're like, you can tell us as soon as you enter, like, I've just left something and something else is happening. This really helps us. The imagery helps us physically, but there's a mystical experience that's going on. The church protected that. Then we had, and this was interesting, when you look at historically, we had this the Sunday of St. Gregory Palamas. You know what, St. Gregory Palamas, what year was he alive? About? Maybe somewhere in the 1400s. So what services were being held before that? That now we have the services of the Orthodox Church for St. Gregory Palamas. Before that, that was a Sunday of Polycarp, St. Polycarp from the first century. What would it take for, you know, look at how Orthodoxy guards the holy tradition. What would it take for the Holy Spirit to lead us saying, okay, Polycarp is still an incredible saint. He's still a great, and we remember him very well, and his and writings and great. But yet, a Sunday is now focused on Gregory Palamas, because the Holy Spirit knows we need this in our lives. We need what Gregory Palamas was fighting for. What was he fighting against? He was fighting for saying you can have a living relationship of God. By God's uncreated energies, you can experience God, be transformed by his grace. Grace meaning the power of the Holy Spirit, the uncreated energies of God. You can be transformed, become one with God. And Balaam, who was representing this world system and was taking over the West and was trying to take over Orthodoxy, by the way, because he became a clergy inside the Orthodox Church, being influenced by the mindset of the West, of Rome at that time. And he brings this thing saying, no, that stupid guy who's a elementary level guy, he doesn't have my multiple PhDs. He doesn't know as much as I know. And I can tell you, you can know about God, but you cannot know God. You can know about what the saints did, but you cannot become a saint. You can only have a distant relationship with God, and you can only learn about your scholarly interpretation. You cannot actually experience God as a simple person. Gregory Palamas said, you're clueless, bud. You need to repent. You need to stop. Now, he does it a lot better than what I'm saying. He if you read the triads, You will see his homilies, incredible homilies, very rich in theology. Yet as a simple man who's just experiencing God and is able to pour out incredible grace of theological experience, which is the experience of God, and says, of course, every one of us, we are called to experience God, to have a living relationship with God. In the midst of Lent, we were remembering him. We have a whole Sunday dedicated to this because we're trying to remind everyone, this is about, it's not just following certain rules. It's about, you are called to have a living relationship with God and not just think about him, not just say, well, one day I received Jesus into my heart. Okay, now that's it. No, it's about me every minute, with every breath, every second, I can repent, turn away from the world and turn to God. Every minute I can experience God inside of my heart. That's why the Jesus prayer is so precious. And St. Gregory reminds us of this practice, this noetic prayer. He said it's been going on, and he tells us forever and ever now. It's been going on, like he names saint after saint after saint, and we go through it. We talked about this before. I'm not going to go through that right now. But I want you to remember what is the purpose of Lent and why we're in Holy Week. Then we remember the veneration of the cross, where we not only venerate the wonderful cross and the blessing of the cross, but we're remembering that I am supposed to take up my cross, suffer some many times to follow Jesus. I will do whatever it takes to get to know God. St. John of the Ladder, we remembered, we're divine ascent, where we've got a beautiful icon, we've got his writings, and we're basically trying to follow God, and we've got our own wicked passions that are trying to keep us away from God. And we're saying Satan is trying to use this to keep us from becoming truly human. And God says, no, I want you to come and enter into my presence and allow my presence to grow in you in order to become truly human, to become like Christ, to become as God's. St. Mary of Egypt showed us it's possible for anybody, even a girl who from age 12 for 17 years had lived a life of debauchery for no reason whatsoever, she can become an incredible holy saint and live in the desert, work through her passions, work through the demonic strongholds that she had given into her life and become one with God. There's hope for all of us. St. Zosimus show it. You don't have to necessarily experience it that way. You can also devote yourself to God and you can draw near to him. But even then, you can learn something from someone who is seemingly just the publican. You know, and I'm supposedly like the Pharisee, but no, I don't want to enter that spirit of Pharisee. I want to constantly say, I'm the publican. I'm coming to communion. I'm the publican. I'm repenting. And then we have the canons of repentance, the great canons of St. Andrew of Crete. And now in the final Holy Week, we had Lazarus Saturday yesterday, if you got to be here. With that is a prelude to the resurrection of Christ. Remember the Troparion. By raising Lazarus from the dead before your passion, you did confirm the universal resurrection. Jesus tells us, guess what? Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. Some are going to be raised from the dead and are going to be rejoicing as they experience the reward. Come to my right. Some are going to be raised from the dead and go to his left, departing from him. O Christ God, like the children with the palms of victory, we cry out to you, O vanquisher of death, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So Wyatt, as the child coming before God with the palms that you have, with those palms of victory, I want you to cry out, O vanquisher of death, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember to say that in your heart. Can you say Hosanna? You cannot? Hosanna?
No.
You cannot say Hosanna?
No.
Okay, try to say it next time. Hosanna in the highest. Can you say blessed? Not right now? Okay, I'm not ready to say it right now. So think about saying that later. Now, what happened to St. Lazarus reminds us of the blessing of resurrection and today, Palm Sunday. What was going on in Palm Sunday today? We have palms. What are we representing with these palms before God? Why are we crying out? We are living the faith. This is not just a historical event that happened in the past, but it's something that the life of the church is constantly, we're experiencing with that moment. It's almost like you have a greater than a time machine. You're actually being translated to experience with the children to praise God, and they are entering here with us to experience as we're praising God together. And we are waving the palms, mystically experiencing, welcoming Christ. But not only that, we're not just welcoming him physically into Jerusalem, into the church, we're also welcoming him into our hearts. And that's what our Holy Week is going to be about. This Holy Week where we have the parable of the 10 virgins, and we're going to be reading that tomorrow. I want you, if you get a chance, read it beforehand. So say, okay, what do I need to do to make sure if I read Matthew chapter 24 in context and Matthew 25, plan to read that and say, as I'm reading this, what am I understanding? What is the background of this passages? Because it says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. He could come at this second. Right? Are you ready if Jesus comes right now? Yeah? Cool. And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. But then he tells us something, and this is very important because this is going on today. He said, Jesus warns us in verse 24. He warns us, for false Christs and false prophets, false preachers with man-made traditions that are misguiding or deceitful, with a popular message, they'll say, get everything now. You can have heaven now. You can have your wealth now. You can have your perfect health now. And if you're not having it, they'll say you're actually sinning in their view. And life is about how much money you make, how much power you have right now in the name of God. Just like the Pharisees, they're misrepresenting God as they're declaring this. And Jesus warns us about these false prophets and said they're going to rise up. Some of them will even show signs and great wonders in order to deceive the masses. So if you see people having signs and go, wow, they're doing miracles. I watched that Hindu guru. He did some great miracle and I watched something happen. Maybe he took his tongue and touched the back of his neck or something. Wow, that's an incredible sign. Must be of God or of demons. Jesus is telling us they're going to do that. And he said, if possible, they will even deceive the elect, if possible. But you don't have to be if you have the gift of discernment. Now, we are called to provide for our family, to use our God-given talents to glorify God at work and as we add value to others, or in a monastic sense, to pray, to pray for the world, to add value to others through prayer, bring in the grace of God to bless them as the monks repent, while remaining in a state of watchfulness, nipsi, to not lose our soul while we're in this world. This is how we're supposed to be in the world, serving God, blessing others, loving others, but not become of the world, not become anxious constantly about where's my money going to come from, where's my rent, my mortgage, my food, I mean, my clothes, how am I going to take care of my child's education, all this stuff. There is a description of hell that was quite intense from a monk on Mount Athos. And I'm going to share this without, hopefully you're taking it the wrong way, but Jesus had a conversation with this monk. And he told him, he says, everything that you've written, I have given to you. You were entering in a spirit of compunction, in tears, as you were in deep tears because of my presence, because of your sin, as you were repenting and realizing all the darkness that was still in you. And also, I gave you certain visions. One of the visions that he gave was of these people experiencing suffering of hell. And one of those are actually a child and a parent. If the child could touch the parent, the child would tear off the parent limb for limb. And if the parent could reach the child, the parent would tear the child limb for limb. And what are they crying out? They're blaming each other. The child says, what did you do that you just devoted me to making money and having me go follow the cares of this world and make it great in this world rather than teach me of the kingdom of God? And the parent is blaming the child, said, because we were so devoted in trying to help you, to teach you how to go get the things of this world, we didn't have time to pursue God's kingdom. They're both blaming each other, angry at each other, enraged at each other, because they have let loose everything that's darkness without the light of God. They have rejected everything of the grace of God. And in that rejection, they're deluded to actually think it's someone else's fault, because even in that state, they're refusing to repent. They're refusing to say, like Adam and Eve, just say, I blew it. Forgive me. It's me. I am wrong. Instead, they're blaming someone else. Still, in forever state of unrepentance, as a result, in that state of pride, they're always without grace, without receiving the grace of God, and therefore there's nothing to transform them. And we don't want to be outside of grace. We don't want to be with the demons in that state. And that's what we're going to be doing this week in Holy Week. We're remembering, I'm coming to God and I'm saying, I don't want to be in the state of darkness. I want to be in the state of beautiful light. So this week, prepare yourself for the experience of the kingdom of God. Prepare yourself for Holy Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I'm giving you a quick summary. When you come, without experiencing, it's hard to put into words, but just to get you started and say, what's going to happen? In this time, I'm going to stay a state of Nipsey. I'm going to be praying Jesus' prayer. I'm going to move my thoughts to my heart to constantly have a spiritual discernment to watch so that my being is not the cares of this world focus, but rather focus on Christ. And I'm growing the kingdom of God within me. And as I see Jesus going to the cross, I'm going to go with Jesus, take up my cross, and I say, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to experience as if though it's happening today, but also in my own life. How can I live like Jesus? How can I suffer like Jesus? How can I forsake the cares of this world like Jesus in order to experience that beautiful resurrection Pascha, which is what's going to culminate on when we come into Saturday, when we're coming to Sunday, and something is going to happen. You might be able to see this actually every year. Now you can see it live in Jerusalem. Do you know what happens on Holy Saturday in Jerusalem?
A sepulcher is opened, and then there's the flame that burns continuously.
Yeah. The holy tomb of Jesus, the tomb of Jesus, there's actually a miracle that happens, has happened every year. The records show possibly for at least 1,200 years, if not longer. Every year we have a miracle, a resurrection miracle. And guess where it happens? At the tomb of Christ, only with a Chalcedonian Orthodox bishop. There have been times when they've tried. The Oriental Orthodox had the Muslim rulers replaced the Chalcedonian bishop and brought in one of their bishop, and he went into the tomb and trying to go in, and a lightning came down from God, and where the patriarch of the Chalcedonian Orthodox patriarch was standing, and to this day you can go see where the lightning came down and struck that holy place and told the people, and that's where the fire came, not inside the tomb. You cannot force it outside of God, reminding us every year there's a holy fire. And this holy fire gives us a glimpse of what it's about. The holy fire of God, for about 30 minutes, people will have this divine light, this holy fire come, their candles will burn, and you'll find people with beard, big monks with beards, put this holy candle, and it won't burn their beards. Their face will not burn while they got this fire. They'll feel the warmth of God, like the burning bush. Where the bush is burning, Moses is seeing, but the bush doesn't burn. The same will happen on Holy Saturday in Jerusalem. And then they will actually take this holy fire and take it to Greece. They'll take it to Russia. There'll be private jets come in dedicated to just take some of this holy fire back to many Orthodox nations. It's you can see it on YouTube. It won't be the same as I'm sure being there. It's not about just signs and miracles, but it is a miracle that God gives to us. And says, the Chalcedonian Orthodox Church is my church. I'm giving this. Why? Because I want to remind you of the holy fire in your heart. I want you to remember, I'm not there to burn you. I'm here to burn away everything that's not of me in order for you to burn with the fire of God. And that's why many of our saints, you notice, while they're praying in this life, they'll be having the Holy Communion. Almost somebody will come in and peek inside, and the person is full of fire. And it's like, wow, this person is full of fire, but they're not burning. They're the divine light of God. Now, it's not about the outward sign, but it is about what's reality, what's going on in your life, in each of our lives. We are meant to have the fullness of the fire of God, the love of God, the grace of God, to fill our whole being without burning us, so that we can experience the life-giving, life-creating mysteries of God, of Christ himself. Okay. What are some of your thoughts and questions in this quick glimpse of Holy Week? What is the purpose of Holy Week? Just what did you get from today or your thoughts? And what is the purpose of Holy Week and Lent?
Prepare us for Pascha, for Christ's resurrection.
Okay, prepare us for Pascha, Christ's resurrection. What else?
That would be my answer.
Okay. To prepare us to welcome Jesus Christ into our heart, deeper than ever. To prepare us to become one with the Holy Trinity. In order to do that, we have to remove the things that block us, which is hamartias, this sickness, this disease, this sins, anything this darkness. We want it out of our being. And the church gives us the experience together. We come to encourage each other. Let's do this together. We come to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Watchfulness, we're careful because Jesus Christ is coming back. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing if you're ready. It's a terrible thing if you're not ready. And most of the world, unfortunately, will not be ready. They won't be dedicated that. Even an hour to prayer or 2 hours to prayer. They're like, you know, I got 1,000 things to do. I don't have time to go to pray. I don't have time to go to church. You know. And then, again, the church says, if you cannot make it, no problem. Don't make it a guilt trip. But if you can, come be blessed. Any other thoughts or questions?
The whole Lent period, and especially Holy Week, is almost like a prolonged, which you started today's lesson with, that prayer before Holy Communion. And so Holy Communion is every week just a consolidated Pascha. So
yeah, beautiful.
That whole 40-day period, especially focusing on Holy Week, is just an extended pre-communion prayer and Pascha, Christ's resurrected body, which is the ultimate Eucharist. Yes. So it's just the fullness, larger scale, you know, communion, and then that period of prayer and repentance that we go through to prepare ourselves to receive the gift.
Yes. Very good. And what if you physically, you're trying to make it, but you cannot make it? What do you do then? You actually can. You can find some of the prayers online, and you can pray. You can also find monasteries that are praying this on YouTube, and or other sources, Rumble or other places. You can find it. Odyssey, I think, is another channel. You'll find some of the monasteries. Great, you can join them in prayer where you're at. Now, is it the same as being physically present? I can tell you, I've experienced both. It's not, but it can help you. It can help you. Definitely can help you. Say, hey, I cannot make it there, but Lord, I'm here. You know my heart. I want to be there. I just cannot do it. Then you pray. What if you cannot pray the full 2 hours or an hour? No problem. Pray 2 minutes. Pray 1 minute. Pray 30 seconds. Welcome Jesus into your heart. As we do regularly, said, okay, I move my thoughts into my heart, and I just cry out, Lord, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That's it. Just, if that's what I can do once. I'll do as often as I can. Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, is not about a guilt trip. It's about a transformation with what we can. God has given us a certain measure and said, what can you do? Wyatt might not have the same capacity yet as some of us might have, but he has his own capacity. He'll do what he can. He's present right here and maybe grabbing a couple of toys and playing with the toys. Wonderful. It's beautiful. He's doing what he can. Beautiful that you're bringing him and he's experiencing this. You never know what God is doing in the midst of this. He's learning something. And he's picking things up. My wife used to teach kinder music, which is for very young kids, like 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. And she would be teaching different musical instruments, and the child would be like turning around while she's teaching and doing something else. And she would tell the parents, relax, the child is learning, you just don't know it. And every now and then she would test one of the child about something, and the child would go, yeah, here, just, and you're like, you were not even watching. You had your back to her completely. And the child would come, yep, I got it. So you'd be surprised with why it is picking up. And the same with us. Sometimes we come, our mind might be wandering everywhere. We're like, you know, I got 1,000 thoughts going on. Fine, but I'm present. And you'd be surprised when I'm picking up as the grace of God comes in me. Just like St. Mary of Egypt, she had never learned how to read in that sense. She never read a Bible, but yet she could quote the Bible left and right. As she's talking to St. Zosima, she knows all about his life. She knows all about liturgy. She knows all about orthodoxy. Where did you learn this? You were in the desert. How? From Christ himself, she said. The same with us. Christ himself in our hearts. That's how we learn. So do what you can with what you got. But if you can, be present, because it is a beautiful experience. There have been many Holy Week when I couldn't come. Maybe I was working. I had a lot of work on my plate. And I was like, I got to get this work done. And you know, but then there have been weeks when I've been able to come for Holy Week. And the more I come, the more I go, ooh, if only I would have known it was like this, I would have really been here, because the kingdom of God is so beautiful, so heavenly, so wonderful. And the experience at the end of it, when you come, you notice resurrection experience is like 1,000 times greater when you can make it. I can tell you from personal experience, and then when you can't. But still, even if you cannot make it, there's a beautiful prayer that we've made on Resurrection Sunday, the prayer of St. John Chrysostom, that will tell us, he'll pray. He says, hey, if you haven't fasted at all the whole period of Lent, don't worry, come as you are. If you've messed up, if you haven't attended any services yet, don't worry, come as you are. If you've lived in sin but you're ready to repent, come as you are. Like it's just saying, it's not about legalism. Come as you are, you never know. Jesus said, you know, one person comes to the last hour, the other person works the whole day. Now, of course, the person working the whole day says, I expect more money. And Jesus says, no, you're going to get the same reward. The person that comes to me. The prodigal son and the brother. The brother says, how dare you give him a party and never give him, throw me a party? He says, relax, welcome. Jesus welcomes. Just like Father Stephen says, all are welcome. We want to have that same spirit. I am welcome. Christ is welcome here, just as I am in my state. And all our children are wonderfully welcome, however they can make it. Okay, I'm going to stop there for now. And if you have other questions, feel free to email me and we can pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you make the sign of the cross? Yes. Thank you, Wyatt. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and save us. We ask you to give increase to this lesson. Help us to draw near to you. Prepare us for experiencing resurrection life and to becoming truly human, to becoming as gods by your uncreated energies, what you are, Lord, by your essence. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, next Sunday, probably we will not have a study, just to warn you, because if we're here for Saturday late at 11:30 p.m. till about 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 5 a.m., I doubt we will have the energy to be able to take.